And welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us on this Monday, August 19th, 106 right now. We're going to check on that forecast coming up in just a moment. A lot of fun things planned for the program this afternoon. And if you want to be a part of the conversation and ask some questions, you can call right now or anytime. Give us a call on the Red Wing Shoe phone line. That's 701-293-9000. Or you can reach us via email as well at weatherorag@flagfamily.com. Now, we got some fun things coming up. We'll be doing a little dumb-off trivia at some point throughout the show as well today. But we got Cassie from Great Harvest Bread Company is going to be joining us, talking a little bit about what they got going on over there. And I hear that they mill their own flour as well. So it's going to be kind of interesting to hear what and how much and how they go about doing it to do that, Bridget. And it sounds like kind of a fun little thing of milling your own flour. It'll be interesting to see if they get local flour as well.
And I would say various types of flour, because yes, I'm sure it's not just wheat, probably oat, rye.
Yes.
You know, maybe buckwheat. Yeah. And I know that, noticed that the, one of the sweeteners they have is honey, which we're, you know, honey production.
Oh, is I like honey.
Very rampant up here, as well as sugar beets. So we've got a lot of different agricultural touches and what Cassie has to share today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be fun. And a few of the topics we'll touch on outside of that. The farm equipment layoffs continue, and Farming State of Mind website, or a couple of them, a few other topics we'll try to get to throughout the course of the afternoon, is a new meat processor in North Dakota and PepsiCo cultivating new farmers. We got lots of topics.
Did you know that today is National Potato Day?
I had no idea.
Let's celebrate big, folks. National Potato Day.
Big old potatoes.
So choose your favorite way and your favorite kind. You know, maybe your reds, russets, Yukon
Golds.
I had
some Yuckins the other day, or Yuckins? Actually yesterday.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you like Did you have that with some Bologna?
Yeah. Well, actually, no Bologna, but just a couple of good old gold Yuckins right in the pan. Yeah. For those of you who don't get it, it's a Yukon potato. Potatoes.
I think everybody got that.
You'd be surprised. Well, yeah, I'm sure there's people who are like, what the heck's a Yuckin?
In my high school days,
it's like a Pareto.
I waitressed at the local cafe, and there was one retired farmer who thought he should have a stand-up comedy show. And when he would order, usually liked a hamburger steak. And I would required questions. Would you like a salad? What kind of dressing? What kind of potato would you like with that? Meaning mashed, baked, fried, etc. Oh, no. He says, I want a red Pontiac. Never did get him a red Pontiac potato.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
The way I want my potatoes done.
What's your favorite potato?
Probably I want American fries, but I also like, as a type of potato, remember there's a new potato that NDSU designed just for McDonald's for their fries. Mm-hmm. Dr. Susie Thompson was a big part of that.
I love like a sweet potato tater tots.
Oh, sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes, a little different.
I completely thought of, or didn't think about the old sweet potato. Mm-hmm. We used to carve those suckers up, and we chop them into little cubes in a pan with butter and salt and garlic and pepper, and eat them any time of the day.
So we've had a previous guest on before, Greg Flint. He's from Mississippi, and he works specifically with crop improvement and sweet potatoes. And down there, they call them taters.
Taters.
Those are taters because they
like
don't raise
tater tots.
They don't raise potatoes like the yellows or the whites that we raise up
they
here.
They dig them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you dig potatoes.
You dig them. You don't raise them.
You don't lift them.
Yeah.
You lift beets, too. You dig potatoes.
Yeah. Oh, want to give a big shout out to Doppler Dave. Met him. You know him. Was out in Lakes Country, ran into him. He's an avid listener to our show, so nice. I told him to give him a shout out. Thanks, Dave, for listening. We appreciate it.
How does he get the nickname Doppler Dave?
He's super into weather.
Word.
Yeah.
So did you teach him a thing or two?
No.
Or maybe did he teach you?
Yeah, there we go. There now we're talking.
All right.
Well, if you're looking for educational moments, I have a whole article here on the history of the manure spreader. I'm sure it's riveting and you guys can't wait to hear more.
Sounds like a crappy story.
That story's just full of...
It just gets...
Never mind.
It's the kind of thing that gets flung around a lot.
Hippos do that.
That story stinks.
It might.
I thought, that's what I call a sticky situation.
There are so many different jokes.
All right, hit me with the crap. What is it?
Okay, so honestly, manure spreaders, they came along at a time where people, they needed to figure out what to do with this thing. You know, they had all sorts of livestock, and they realized there was a way that had to be better than just pitchforks to get manure out of the barn and onto a field. So one of the earliest patents was in 1859. horse-drawn.
1859.
They likely at the time just had like a chain that wrapped around the bottom of a wagon and just kept moving as the horses moved. And from there, they got a little bit more technical. Pretty soon you had the big flailing rotor on the back that could spread the manure around. But yes, there is quite the history of manure spreaders.
One manure that's better than another?
Depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for higher nitrogen or phosphorus content, you can literally get a sample so that you know what the fertilizer content is of the manure, whether it's from hogs, poultry, beef, et cetera, dairy. And then you can have more of a well-rotted compost pile or a liquid slurry, if you'd like.
Ah, the slurry.
Those are called honey wagons. Liquid slurry gets moved in a honey wagon.
Yeah, that's a... It also gets taken out in a honey wagon.
It gets moved around.
Oh, man.
Just when you thought there wasn't anything to talk about in ag,
good
you guys.
Night, no doubt.
Does the fertilizer percentage content change in, say, like cow manure? Is it like, does it vary, or is it for the most part just the same percentage?
It can be very similar, but remember, it depends what you're feeding them.
So I was going to ask, can you feed them different things that makes the
changes the content?
More fertile?
Just it can change the content and
can
so forth.
Can you fertilize the grass and that makes the fertile more fertile?
So if you're starting your lawn.
So like if I just spray my yard with Miracle-Gro and have a cow come eat it, now I got super manure or something?
I'm going to have to talk to you about rotational restrictions, et cetera.
Oh, can you not feed cows Miracle-Gro?
Not right off the bat, no.
What about Bloom Booster?
Would not go with that one. But manure is a great thing to use on your lawn to get it started.
Sure, yeah, of course. I'd never do it, but...
neighbors wouldn't like you too well.
No, I don't think the town would like you
too
well.
All about timing.
So they were doing that up on a field on the east side of the interstate up there past the old railroad overbridge.
Oh, the overpass up at Buxton?
Yeah. And every time I drive by that thing, I mean, they were just stacking it up out there. And then they like put it all in a thing and sort of flinging it everywhere. And they had just this nasty cloud coming over the interstate. Even with the internal recycling air system in the vehicle, it still made it just smell awful.
Well,
terrible.
To some, that could be the smell of money.
Well, I mean, you could say that. Doesn't mean it smells good.
Actually, when the pandemic started and we had folks that were really moving towards more of a green fertilizer situation, there was a bunch of folks that went out to feedlots and wanted to do forward contracting on their manure so that they could continuously get manure from those feedlots to be used on fields.
Interesting. Well, hey, if you want to join in on this conversation, ask a question or a past conversation we were just having, a new one we're about to have, give us a call, 701-293-9000. We're going to head over there right now. We got Ken on line one. What's going on today, Ken? Thanks for listening.
Hey, Ken. Sorry. I never thought I'd tell this joke over the air, but anyway. In about 1970, I was using a single horse and pitching manure onto a wooden drag stone boat, we called it,
yes.
And then pitched it off. But he was a pretty strong little horse. But anyway, maybe you've heard this joke. When New Holland was making their manure spreaders, they went to the warranty department, and the warranty department said, "Sorry, folks, this is one we can't stand behind."
That's an excellent joke, Ken. I like it.
Thanks, Ken.
Appreciate it, Ken. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah. That was excellent.
That sounds like one of those Bentley jokes.
Save that for him.
That does sound like a Bentley joke.
Don't lose sight of that one. You never know where you'll need it again.
You're going to need to hang on to it.
Weather-wise, you guys want to touch on the weather?
No, not really.
We've got a guest coming in. I've got a bunch of stuff over here for us to go through.
Looks like the sun went behind a cloud, or maybe the sun is dimming out. I'm not sure. Dean,
smoke?
Say you.
We've got a little haze, a little smoke in the air. Few cumulus clouds, partly cloudy to mostly sunny, depending where you're at today. High is pretty close to 86. We're at 83 last check.
84.
Is that up to 84 now?
84.
All right. And we'll have light south winds. Low 60s tonight. Upper level wave moves across northern South Dakota and southern North Dakota. And could see a few isolated late-day showers as it approaches the valley, but I think most of that's going to be down to our south. But it does turn breezy tomorrow. Southeast winds 10 to 25, highs in the low 80s, right around 80 or so on Wednesday. Windy conditions out of the south, and then isolated showers and storms possible Thursday. Doesn't look like anything widespread. And then summer heat returns Friday, Saturday, Sunday, warming up from the 80s into, looks like Sunday we could touch 90 or poke into the lower 90s. So some summer heat coming back towards our area, so that's good news.
Right,
like, we've only got a couple more weekends of summer anyway, so
that's right.
Might as well bring it on.
Let's just drag it out into September.
That'd be nice.
Because it hits Labor Day doesn't mean summer's done.
No, but football starts then, and you're getting more into more of the fall mode. Right?
You know what happens in fall?
What? The leaves turn. It's all pretty.
And the leaves fall.
Hey, speaking of the fall, it must be coming soon. There is a squirrel that is beating up my oak tree to no end. Like every time I look, he is hauling acorns.
Maybe the oak tree's asking for it.
Oh man, he is hauling acorns all over the place. And when I yell at him,
oh, that's not good.
That squirrel gives me a look like, what? What are you looking at?
What kind of squirrel is it? Is it like a little gray squirrel or is it a red squirrel? Because those red squirrels are nasty little things.
It is not a red squirrel. He seems fairly timid.
Leave him be.
Is he hoarding the nuts?
Yes.
That means a bad winter.
You never know. But they do this every year. And also, he swiped my mini pumpkins 1 year.
What?
So I had mini pumpkins from the garden. I had them sitting along the driveway for Halloween.
Squirrel must be named Richard.
And he took them because I knew it was the squirrel because I came home. And as I was pulling into the driveway, I could see the neighbor's tree with my squirrel and my pumpkin. It was tucked up under his chin his little arms going up the tree.
Maybe he was just trying to catch a buzz.
You know, I had a lot of words for him, and buzz was not one of them.
I bet you did.
Have
you invested in a slingshot yet? You don't have to answer that. Look at me and blink once if you have.
If you want to talk weaponry, I don't need a slingshot.
Yeah, right on.
There we go.
That's all we need to know.
She's
here.
A country girl. Come on, man.
We'll be fine.
We'll be fine. She lives in the country, too.
We're going to South Dakota. What, are you going unarmed?
Yeah.
Silly you.
I've got Smith and Wesson.
Those things only work like 2 foot range.
You're going to have to get close.
You need something with a little more range there, buddy. You used to be from the desert. You don't go into the desert without protection.
That's for sure.
Always remember, never bring a knife to a gunfight.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. When we come back, we will have with us Cassie from Great Harvest Bread Company. I don't know what's all being unloaded next to
it
us here, but
good.
There's a lot, and I'm looking forward to trying it all. We got lots of questions, mm-hmm. lots of comments already from folks who are listening, etc., and much, much more. We're going to do trivia and everything.
Mm-hmm. Lots of fun stuff, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes.
Welcome back. Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. We're so glad that you're here this afternoon. Big thank you to Dairyland Seed. They are a part of our Here We Grow project north of Glendon. I'll be headed out there after we get off air today. Want to go check out our corn crop. And then also, I'll be doing a video for Ellingson Drainage because for Ellingson, as one of our partners, we just got a little bit of rain. I'm curious to see how much excess surface moisture was drained from that field through Ellingson's system. So thanks to both those sponsors. We appreciate all they do for us and our Here We Grow project that will benefit Farm Rescue. If you have calls and questions that you want to make today, you can do it to us here on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. And it's a little bit like Christmas came early because we have in studio with us today our guest, Cassie, is it Wistie?
Wistie, yes.
Wistie. She is with Great Harvest Bread Company. There's a plate of food in front of us.
Yes.
I can't even get to it yet. We have so many good things for us to talk about.
It looks great.
Cassie, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fabulous.
So far, so
thanks
good.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Glad you're here.
Oh, because you're new to our show, mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the company, Great Harvest Bread.
Yes. So Great Harvest Bread Company, actually, our location has been in Fargo for about 36 years. So it was started in the 70s, 1975, a couple college students just trying to put themselves through schooling, just really started to make some phenomenal bread. And from that, Great Harvest Bread Company is actually the United States' first ever bakery franchise.
Oh, wow. Nice. Wow,
cool. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see you on the History Channel on the Food That Built America.
Yeah, there you go.
Where are the locations at?
They have about 200 locations across the country. Wow. So when I first bought Fargo's location about 2.5 years ago, I had no idea it was a franchise. And because one of the things that they really pride themselves on is being what's called a freedom franchise. So they want your store to reflect your community. Yes. If you have recipes that reflect your community, if, you know, just to kind of fit into the cultures and the traditions, and then they'll just kind of help you align with some of their mission and things like that. But they give you a lot of freedom, so that's nice.
So that's cool. So the stores aren't like copy paste from state to state to state, you know, like a McDonald's is the same in every single location.
Yeah. Nope. A lot of us carry the same thing. We do have a database that all of us owners can get on, and it's really cool and really supportive. You know, if I'm struggling with a recipe, I can hop on there. I can email out to all the other 200 locations, and I get other owners that, you know, give me tips and tricks. And so it's just, it's a really nice community.
Oh, man.
That's great.
So I'm so glad I had a little bit of salad before I came, because that's like the perfect precursor to the soup and sandwich lunch I'm about to have on this plate. So, Cassie, what did you bring for us today to try?
Yeah. So, you know, we, like I said, our store has been around for 36 years, and we've been what's called a legacy store, mostly bread. But then we have had lunch options that people could take out of our store. And if you've been following our Facebook page, we have been undergoing a little bit of an expansion.
Oh.
And so we have a bigger space next door where now people can come in and sit and eat with us. And so I brought you today our Louisville chicken salad sandwich. That is one of our top selling sandwiches in the store. And like I was kind of sharing earlier, all of our sauces, all of our dressings, everything's made from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
So we make all of the, you know, that herbed mayonnaise, that sauce that's on there, even those pecans have been roasted and seasoned and put together. So, yeah.
Okay. Don't be shy, guys. If you have a mouthful of food, I'll talk.
Well, okay. About to.
So when I think about bread and flours, it's not just about wheat flour, but what types of different flours are you using in store for a variety of appetites and just food pairings, Cassie?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, one of the things that Great Harvest also really prides itself on is its wheat. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that we mill in the store. So we have a huge stone mill in our store, the original stones to the mill. So that's kind of a cool story. And there's only one gentleman, his name is Hank, and he travels around all of the Great Harvest. So he was in our store a few weeks ago, and he dresses our mills every 2 years and makes sure they're running great and gives us tips on them. But so we roast those whole wheat berries down into the flour. And so then, we use, as far as the white flour, we use North Dakota. We get it from the mill here.
Oh, locally. North Dakota State Mill in Minot, or excuse me, in Grand Forks.
Grand Forks. Yes. Yep. So that's our white flour. And then we do have gluten-free options in the store. And so Wednesdays is kind of our gluten-free day. And so those would be like, you know, your tapioca flours or your potato starches or those other flours that aren't harvest buckwheat brown rice, you know.
And Cassie, do all the stores mill their own flour, or are you just one of them?
We all mill our own flour. And so that's been a conversation, because what does that look like when you have one man who's traveled to all the stores for the last 20-some years decides to retire?
Uh-oh.
You know, that's really our legacy, is that fresh flour.
Right.
Yes.
And so what does that look like if we ever have to change that?
I'm going to be honest with you. Sorry, Justin. I'm not a big chicken salad person. Mm-hmm. Never was. This is phenomenal. I mean, literally.
It is really good.
A fan now.
Yeah, I love it when we have a little bit extra at the end of the day or the end of the week, and I'll like take it home and I'll like stick it on crackers, or I'll stuff it in those little peppers, those little bell peppers.
Yeah. That is a perfect bet.
Cassie, for those who have no idea, and I would fall under this category, and I would assume Dean would as well, what is it look like? How do you mill your own flour? What are you doing? What's the process?
Yeah. So to be honest, when I took over the store, that was something that the previous owners had said to me, hey, well, let's go to the heart of the bakery. This is the mill. You know, I looked at it and I was like, what's a mill? Like, I know what a mill is, but I was, was terrifying. Like, I'm going to have to mill my own flour every
day. Yeah. And when you said stone mill, this is not just like the little coffee grinder type of mill thing.
No.
This is a whole different
game. He has his own room. And so we go through about 250 pounds of flour a day in our store. And so, those wheat berries are stacked up on pallets. They're 50 or 60 pound bags. Mm-hmm. And we have steps to get up to our mill, and if you get it on your shoulder, it's a little easier, and you get up there and you just slice it open and drop it in. It holds about two 60-pound bags of wheat berries, and then it takes about half an hour to mill.
So are these just like two big stone wheels that just grind it up?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That'd be something cool to see.
I just want to know if you named the mill. She should have his own name.
I know. We have a lot of things that are made in ours. We were kind of calling him Phil because, you know, you have to fill the mill. So that was kind of our...
Fill the mill.
Anytime you want to run a contest where we have to have a naming contest, first of all, Phil, top four runner
a good one.
That's a good one.
You go with Dwayne, the rock roller.
There you go.
Or the rock grinder, I don't know.
And if you didn't know, we do stand-up comedy when we're not on air.
Yes, right?
Love it. And when you think about sweeteners and so forth, do you look at what we have locally with a lot of honey or sugar beet versus maybe some sugar cane or anything like that?
Yep. All of our sugars come from, like, our brown sugar and our white sugar is from, you know,
the American Crystal.
Yep, American Crystal.
Nice.
Honey, we go through about 650 pounds of honey every 3 weeks.
Wow.
So we use honey in all of our breads, and they come in a 55-gallon drum. And I have tried to work with a few of the apiaries in town. When I'm in a bind,
mm-hmm.
yes, I turn to a few of them, and they really help me out. They get them to me in buckets. But so far, I haven't been able to find somebody that can meet me close to where I'm at right now with that.
That's a huge volume.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be, and I understand exactly what you're saying, because I see the hives. I know what the apiaries locally are doing, but man, it would be tough to get all that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So tell us about the new Great Harvest Cafe. When is it going to be open? What are the hours, and what are you going to be able to get there?
Yeah, so we're open now.
Okay.
We've been serving lunch out of our space. We extended our lunch hours, so we always had lunch from 11 to 2, and now we're doing it 11 to 4, just because we do have that seating area now for people.
Sure. And some of us aren't good with time.
Yes. That's okay. It actually has been so fun seeing people come in and the little ladies just talking and gathering with their friends. It's just been so heartwarming.
Absolutely.
But and then on Saturdays, until we get a little more suited in our space, and then really just looking at everybody's schedules. We have a lot of staff that are going back to school and college and things like that. So right now we're just doing breakfast on Saturdays, which I think most people, that's what they want.
That's exactly right. On a Saturday morning, maybe sometimes a Sunday, you're looking for a place to go out for a little breakfast. That's awesome.
Yep. So just breakfast on Saturdays. We're open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
How tired are you?
Depends on the day. Ask me towards the end of the week when I'm not making any sense.
Your soup is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You said roasted red pepper gouda?
Roasted red pepper gouda. Yeah, that's one of our top soups. And, you know, now that the season will be changing, we'll be bringing back some of those wild rice. And we've been partnering with Red Silo, and they have been bringing us soup on Tuesdays.
Nice.
So that's been really fun getting some of those.
Your local partnerships are tremendous. And is that encouraged by your franchise?
They absolutely encourage you to buy local whenever you can.
Sure.
I think I'm just one of those community-driven people.
Yeah.
I worked in nonprofit for a few years. I worked for the school systems for many years. And so I think I just love this area. You know, I've got family out west, out east. It's like, what direction are we going to go? But I just love coming back here. And so whatever I can do to help others or promote others that are, you know, out there hustling and grinding too, I mean, I'm all about it.
I have a pallet of zucchini at my house that's running amok. If you'd like, I could bring some over.
Yeah, some good old zucchini bread.
I know. It's a little large.
Yeah. Well, my grandma made zucchini soup the other day at the store.
Oh, really?
So if you follow our Facebook page, my 95-year-old grandmother sometimes comes and she'll make nephila or different soups.
I'm going to want to sit and visit with grandma about that soup. I have a recipe for zucchini pie.
Oh.
So maybe we'll have to trade.
Yeah.
Right. And Cassie, what about different kinds of breads? What kind of bread do you got available that people can go and buy?
Yeah. So, I mean, we do a wide range of breads. So if you want that whole wheat bread, we have a bread called Dakota, and we roast all of the pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds, and it's got millet in it. So it's just got a lot of like protein and that kind of thing. And then we've got, of course, our sweet things, just like you have in front of you. Now, the cinnamon chip is our most popular, hands down.
That was going to be my question, was what is your most popular dessert item? It is a cinnamon crisp?
Yep. The cinnamon chip is our most popular, and then the potato dill, which that's what your sandwiches are on today. But today we did a cinnamon chip swirl, and it's got apples inside of it with brown sugar and cinnamon.
You gonna eat that, Dean?
Yes. And off.
What about other goodies? You got any kinds of bars or cookies that you sell as well?
Yep. So we do oatmeal cookies every day. And if you've ever seen our cookies, Great Harvest has always been known for these cookies that are as big as your face, you know? So that's kind of a standard for us. If you're having a large event, a catering or something, we will make a smaller one. Sometimes it's more affordable for people that way. But we just always do the big cookies. This month we're doing peanut butter chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, wow.
Which are a favorite. And then, you know, we'll do snickerdoodles. We do ginger cookies. Sometimes, also this month, we are doing a lemon lavender cookie, which has been really good.
I would love to try that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when that bag of dried lavender came in, I was like, bury me in it.
And just a reminder for folks that are listening and they're like, I don't know, I don't really have time to run in for lunch. Yeah. Oh, but remember, it is harvest season. Mm-hmm. And if you are thinking ahead about your harvest lunches, swing into Great Harvest Bread Company, because you can put your sandwiches on these breads. You can pick up the cookies. You can have scones to go out the door to the combines with coffee. I was just thinking, it's too bad I don't host book club next month, because that would be a great place to bring the ladies, right? Or to bring things home to use for that. So just some of those marketing ideas, you guys, just go in and shop for those events.
Yeah. And do you do a lot of catering for lunches? Because I can, this would be a huge hit for like any luncheons, like company luncheons, anything like that.
Yeah, we do. We do little like lunch boxes for people. So then these are nice. You know, we had somebody that ordered about 70 of them a few weeks ago for an event. And just like you said, we actually have online ordering. So if you are in a hurry for lunch, but you want to swing by, order online and then just swing in and pick it up. Or you can just call the store, and if you want us to set some breads aside for you, you can come by and get them when it works for you.
Right. Well, I think that leads into the question, Cassie. Where is the store located at, and what are the full hours for the bakery and, again, the cafe?
Yeah, so we are on University Drive, so 1523 University Drive. We're right there in that strip mall with Bernie's and Luna by that Hornbacher's there south. And 1523 University Drive, we're open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and then 6 a.m. to 2 on Saturdays.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds great. I think I'm going to have to swing over there. I want to get a couple loaves of bread. I'm just a bread freak. I just love bread.
Yeah, I'm no carb left behind myself.
Potato dill is so good.
Potato dill's good. Well, and we have some really fun ones. You know, I don't know if you saw, we've been partnering with Swing Barrel over in Moorhead. And so we've been doing all of our beer breads with their local beer.
Ooh.
So,
Doesn't that sound good?
Anything that says beer in the, with this bunch works out fine. Yep. Who are you kidding?
Well, and we've been doing one that's a bacon cheddar beer bread. So really bacon and beer and cheese. What more could you want?
Rarely do I want more than that.
Right. Bridget, any other listener questions that came in over there?
I don't have listener questions, but I do know that the next time we see you next month, I think there'll be a whole nother raft of things that we want to ask about that, you know, as far as ingredients and so forth. So we'll try to give you some heads up so it's not quite a pop quiz.
Okay, no problem. I look forward to it.
And anything that you wanted to bring up before we come to a wrap here, and then again, what the website and the or the website for the bakery as well.
Yeah, no, just and we always encourage people to come in. We have something that's called a bread board, and so everyone who walks in the store can get a big slice of something, whether they buy anything or not.
Okay.
It's just kind of a Great Harvest trademark. And so come in, don't be afraid to get ready to sample something, and then ask our staff questions. You know,
that's the best way is to find out what you like by asking those questions.
Yeah.
Is the milling process, Is that like an open window where people can watch the mill working, or is it kind of in its own separate room?
So I thought about that for the expansion. You know those old taffy machines that would be at the candy stores? I thought it would be so cool to put, let's put the mill in the window. And then I remembered just how dusty and however it gets in there all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, maybe not. But we do tours for kids, for baker, for like
preschools.
Right. And we bring them into the mill and they get a chance to see it.
Justin would like to bring a beer, and he could sit there and watch the mill while it goes. I see how this is happening.
I'll harvest all the wheat, and I'll bring it to the mill on the game, and then I'll come over to Great Harvest Bread Company, and I'll watch it in real life.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome. Cassie, one more time, what was the website?
Yeah, it's www.greatharvestfargond.com.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thanks for coming in and the delicious samples. I mean, I still got the cinnamon chip to dig into, but I've had it before and it is just phenomenal.
And their scones are so absolutely good. To die for. If you've got a sweet tooth
over there.
Cream cheese scones. Cream cheese scones.
I am a big dairy fan. Thank you.
All right. Well, we got to get caught up with a little after bottom of the hour news. When we come back, a couple of egg topics, and we'll see what else we can squeeze into the show. And you can always call as well, 701-293-9000. Yeah, welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 1:46. We'll run down on that forecast coming up. Got a few ag topics and trivia to get to. Bridget, tell me a few of the free things that CHS is offering or available with them, because I hear they got some stuff.
They do, and you've got to get your applications in by September 1. So attention to rural communities. They have a $35,000 grant that's going to be awarded, and they're doing it in a $15,000, a $10,000, and a $5,000. So there'll be three different placings for it. The top three finalists will go to the CHS annual meeting December 5th and 6th in Minneapolis. What can those dollars be used for? If your community fire department needs bin safety, the big guards that you can use for bin rescues, your ambulance service. Maybe you need to put $15,000 towards a new ambulance and or equipment, because ambulances just don't show up free. Local food pantries and other community activities, your parks, etc., you can submit. They can be done written or video. Again, they are due by September 1 and finalists will know by October 1st. So dream big. Go ahead and make your submissions now. See if you can earn some extra dollars for your community.
Yeah, right on. Fantastic. Cool. Mm-hmm. And can we hit on the farm equipment layoffs continuing? Yes. What's up with that?
Okay. We know that John Deere has made some very large cuts, but there's a reason for it. John Deere right now, their overall new equipment business has been down 20% year on year into Q1. CNH, which is the parent company for Case IH, they are down 38%, and AGCO's down about another 15 to 20% as well. So everybody's facing it in the new equipment market. We do see a softening in used equipment that's going at a better price. A lot of farmers are making the decision to not do trade-ins. They're keeping some of their older equipment and just putting more parts dollars into it versus trading up for new. Interesting enough, next week when I'm at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, that one of the most unusual things that's ever happened there, John Deere is actually doing an auction at that farm show. I've only caught just the tail end of some of that. I'll get more details on it while I'm there, but they've never had a live auction of equipment there.
Is part of that interest rates?
Part of it. Commodity prices are low. You know, a year ago going into harvest, we were looking at $6.50 on corn. Right now, a board price at the end of July was like $3.90. That's a big difference on a bushel.
Yeah, that's about half price almost.
Big difference.
Interesting, interesting.
So big bushels for us, boys. We need to get a good, we don't have a good price.
Yeah, 225.
So what were you going to ask, Justin?
Well, I was going to ask, actually, I wasn't going to ask. I was just going to say I was in my John Deere last night and I was harvesting wheat.
Were you?
Yeah, it was up until, I'd say probably about 12:30. I only got half the field done, but
some of it anyway.
I got half done. That's something.
It is.
I filled the combine. I didn't spill any out of the top.
Actually, tomorrow you have a guest host.
I do, Jeremy, right?
Jeremy Hughes with Horse Manufacturing out of Mapleton. And Jeremy will actually be a great discussion with you about equipment. And he's been traveling quite a bit, like out to Idaho, et cetera. So he's got some points to make about the water rights and access that's been a problem in irrigation for farmers, how their crop looks, really how their barley crop looks good, but there's not as much demand for it.
I know some people that could fix that.
I was just going to say. I was talking to a few people. It was at a
a lake event over the weekend, and they said, first, they love listening to us. We were talking about the LRC and everything, and they said they've been having record wheat crops.
Yeah, we have.
Coming in.
Well, hold on, bushels, but our proteins bushels. Have not been. We've seen a lot of proteins in, certainly it's not all widespread, but you get to Western North Dakota, they've got some lower pro down around that 11-12%. There's pockets of that here in this portion of the valley. You get up to like Lancaster, Minnesota. I've also heard some 10-11 bushel wheat up there. So, or excuse me, 10-11 protein.
What's a good percentage?
You want your protein more around the lines of like 13.
Oh, so they're just a couple percents off, but that makes the
makes a difference because you're not getting protein bonuses
sure,
at
right.
the time either.
Huh, interesting.
Yep.
Well, guys, should we do a little trivia?
Let's go. Sure. I'm not on a delay right now. I'm here.
You got a chance, you're saying. Anyway, we're going to play Dumb Off Trivia here. Morgan, you want to tell me the instructions, please?
It is time to determine who has the biggest smart in the Dumb Off. Here are the rules. Dean, Justin, Bridget, and Addison will play on the listener's behalf. They will go through two or three rounds of the most grueling trivia questions on the planet. Whoever has the most points at the end will be awarded the big smart. The contestant they're playing for will win a prize, and all contestants will be entered into a drawing for the grand prize.
Oh, this ought to be good. This will either be the greatest or dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Appreciate it, Donald. Appreciate it, Morgan. Thank you very much. Dean, you're playing for Dave A. I'm playing for Doug A. And Bridget, you're playing for Delilah G today.
Why do all these people have just one letter last names?
Where are you
getting these from?
Why would I say their last name on the radio?
They want to be famous.
They don't want to be recognized.
They do not.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Okay, moving on.
We're just going to let that one marinate, Dean.
Okay.
You want to ask it again?
I'll ask you next time.
All right.
Every week?
Orange and red. I think it was red and orange, wasn't it?
Red and orange.
Oh. Red and orange.
Yeah, it was red and orange. Yeah, that'll be a.
Okay.
That'll be great. Anyways, let's just kick it off. Addison, what do you got for us today?
All right. Well, speaking about red and orange, today's first burning trivia question is, how many primary colors are there?
Seven. Three.
You said seven?
They both said seven.
I blinked and like a cacophony what of colors numbers was like blurted out.
Red and orange.
Because do you want me to give them to you?
All seven primary colors?
Roy G.
Biv.
Yep. That's how you learned them in
Roy
school.
Roy G. Biv.
Roy G. Biv.
It's red, yellow.
Red, orange, yellow.
You want to write that down
so
you get it?
Blue.
Red, orange, yellow, and blue is your answer?
No, there's three primary colors.
Oh, okay. Yes, there are three. Three is the correct
Roy G. Biv was the rainbow.
Fine.
That's the spectrum.
That was the rainbow that we learned.
Oh,
Roy G. Biv.
Moving on. Sorry, Delilah.
All right. I'm going to do this one. I'm going to be honest. I did not know the answer to this one until I read the sheet. I didn't even know this was a word, so I want to see if
anybody
is smart enough to know.
So this is a banger you're telling me.
I do not have the big smart because I didn't know this one. This is also a long question.
Okay.
What is the term for the process in which water is transferred from the Earth's surface to the atmosphere?
Evaporation.
By evaporation from oceans, rivers, and lakes.
Evapotranspiration. Evapotranspiration.
Yes, that's probably a word. Yeah, we'll
it is. A, yep.
Addison's like, I don't actually believe you.
That's what it says on the sheet. I had to read this like four times. I thought,
right on.
Someone,
good stuff. Way to be, Dean.
Yeah.
Even after
that brought me back
even
to college,
botched right in the middle of the question.
Right, I had.
He should not have been eligible for a second guess.
Too late.
All right.
That the compelling argument you make, Mr. Storm.
We'll give you the point you need at Dean.
Yeah. All right. Who painted the Mona Lisa?
Da Vinci.
Da Vinci.
First name?
Van Gogh.
Leonardo.
I can't even answer because I'm trying to process the stupidity happening over here.
It was Leonardo DiCaprio Da Vinci. Leonardo.
Yes. It was not DiCaprio.
I know.
Not DiCaprio.
That was a joke.
King of the world.
I'm just saying there was room for both of them on that door. So.
Good lord.
All right.
Here's an easy one. A nice, good one. Free point. A pickle is made from which fruit or vegetable?
Cucumber.
Yes. There we go.
Who got that?
Bridget.
Did Bridget get it? Okay.
Because she canned cucumbers this weekend.
Yeah. Right? I got to pick my cucumbers.
Made them into pickles.
All right. Why is honey?
I think we already did this one.
Why is honey a convenient pantry staple? I'm going to pretend that's what we're
because
doing.
Because it is stable
expire.
For an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like hundreds of years.
It never spoils.
Yes.
That's
true. Wow. Way to be, Bridget. Man, that delay really screws you over.
Doesn't it, though?
Wow. We'll have to get that thing fixed. All right. One more to end round two.
Okay.
What is the easy one. What is the largest ocean mammal?
Blue whale.
Blue whale, yes. I think Justin got that.
After two rounds, it's all tied up. 2-2. Into round three we go.
Going through the math route.
Oh, gosh.
What is the square root 25?
5.
I was just going to say. My high school algebra teacher is just like, she still doesn't get this stuff right.
I'm a little closer to school than you guys. No offense or anything. Just a little closer.
I hate math.
Not that any of my high school teachers needed to know, but when I was in seventh grade, I found the answer key to all the books my school used on the internet.
Hey, look at that.
So from seventh grade till graduation, I didn't have to do a single thing.
He was a straight A student. He was a smarter, not harder.
I was like a B minus.
Where were you when I needed your help?
You know what?
Kindergarten, I suppose.
the paras in the resource room in the school, they missed me after I left because, I had one of them message me on Facebook, and they're like, we could never find answer keys.
Nice.
Great.
So, all right. What is the chemical symbol for gold?
AU. AU.
Yes, it is AU.
Good job, Dean.
Yeah. All right. Let me go to my other sheet and find a question we haven't done yet. I'm starting to run out of questions on my sheets.
You want me to give you some ag ones?
There's some ag ones in the other one.
There are ag ones in the other one. Speaking about ag questions, here's not one. How many lives are cats said to have?
Nine.
It's true.
Bridget got it. Good job, Bridget.
Wow. Good job, Bridget.
Tied again after three rounds. I guess that means we got to go a fourth.
They're told they have 9 lives, but it'd be better if they kept their tails out of screen doors and so forth.
Yeah, facts.
Live longer.
Indeed.
Really help them.
Yeah.
All right. Dean may struggle on this one. I'm not sure. Which four colors make up the flag of Brazil?
Green, white, red, yellow.
No.
Green, yellow, white, and black.
No.
Oh!
Green, yellow, white,
red and orange.
And red. Red and orange.
I think Bridget said that same combination.
Did she?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
What is it?
Everyone was very close. It's green, yellow, white, and blue.
Ah, look at that.
Yeah. Just seemed like a blue state to me.
Yeah, no.
All right,
we might have to do
we're all tied.
Well, we're tied. We don't have much time. Let's tiebreaker one.
What do you got?
All right. What is the term for the process by which raindrops freeze upon contact with surfaces that are below freezing temperature?
Freezing rain.
Dean.
I wanted to say frizzle.
Frizzle. Way to go, Dean.
Okay.
You gave Dave a winning shot there.
Congrats, Dave. Congratulations.
You want to know Dave's last name?
No, not really, because maybe he doesn't want anybody to know what his last name is.
Just glad you get the bit.
Okay.
Glad.
All right.
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
Comprehension.
Good deal.
It's a thing. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for the show today. Dean, what's the weather like for the upcoming week?
Well, we've got today probably one of the warmest days, but we still have that smoke and haze in the air. Highs today topping out about 86 with light winds. Winds increase the next couple of days. You'll notice that southeast 10 to 25 tomorrow and up to 30 on Wednesday. Low 80s both tomorrow and Wednesday. Slight chance of a late day shower tomorrow. Better chance of rain coming in Thursday, and then summer heat returns for the weekend.
Right on. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next. Bye.